I've noticed that most entrepreneurs don't know their numbers and they're scared of them. And knowing the financials in your business really is important, but it's not as bad as you think it is. If you want to learn more about the six key numbers you need to know to have your finger on the pulse of the business, this is the podcast for you.
I won't be defined by your dreams, committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own thing, keep up the hustling.
Welcome to Hustleburg. Thank you for sharing your time with us as we chat with entrepreneurs here in St. Petersburg, Florida. We talk about how they got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleburg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle because I found that most entrepreneurs lack the time and expertise to build their own digital marketing strategy and still get results. As an entrepreneur here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners about what they do and sharing that conversation with you. Now, you may have noticed a few changes with the podcast lately. One of the biggest is that we're now doing video. So if you're only listening to this episode, whether it's on your favorite podcast player, RadioStPete.com, or Sunshine 96.7 FM, please know that this episode and all future episodes are available for you to view on YouTube and BeyondYourSideHustle.com. Just visit BeyondYourSideHustle.com/YouTube to subscribe or to watch your favorite episode of Hustleburg. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe. And if you would, also rate and review the episode as well, because it sends us the right signals to know how the conversations add value for you. Finally, if you're interested in being a guest in an upcoming episode and you own a small business here in St. Pete, let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. So Brooke, why is it that you're helping entrepreneurs focus on the six key numbers to make sure that their companies are profitable businesses?
You know, I was running a company for my family, and I am a math-based person, and I've got my MBA and all of that. And we hired someone to help us with sales and marketing. And his clients started coming to me and saying, can you do for our businesses what you're doing for your families? And that was when I realized that entrepreneurs don't run their businesses by the numbers. They've started this company because they're passionate about something or they have a particular skill set, and it is rarely understanding financials.
So this is why you do it, because you're helping entrepreneurs. How is it that you serve this why? What is it that you're doing? How are you making sure that these entrepreneurs understand what profitability looks like from a numbers perspective?
There are so many people that are suffering in silence. They are intimidated. They're scared. They're going to put on a brave face for the world. Everything's great in my company. And yet they're up at 3 a.m. trying to figure out how they're going to make payroll. And I just can't stand almost the stigma that's attached to not knowing your numbers. Look, most people don't. And it's not a big deal. And they're not actually as complicated as you think they are. And I want to help those people. I want to stop everyone that's suffering in silence.
So how is it that entrepreneurs should be looking at their profitability that they may not be doing today?
Well, when we talk about profitability, there are a lot of different things that we look at. And we can talk about the six key numbers today. But you know, I think they're components. So there are a number of things that you need to do to become profitable, but there's some things you need to do before you start looking at profit. And one of those, and it's, you know, our first number, it's your cash flow forecast. Everybody knows cash is king. Your business can't survive without it. And before we start worrying about all the other stuff that we can look at, let's know how much cash you're going to have at the end of every week for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Because if you're coming up on a cash crunch and it's 6 or 7 weeks away, you can do something about that. if it's 6 or 7 hours, you're not going to make payroll. Like,
oh, sure.
It's just no time to react.
So what would you say is the biggest thing that entrepreneurs are overlooking when it comes to maintaining that positive cash flow so they don't find themselves 6 to 7 hours from not making payroll?
From crashing? I think one of the things that gets me the most is people pricing and saying, this is what the going rate is. And I don't really care what the going rate is for anything. Nothing. Don't care.
Right.
Not relevant. I care what the right rate is for your business, for your cost structure, for the way you deliver that product or service. So, yeah, most of the time I find that a lot of cash crunches are caused by improper pricing.
Well, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy is when I see somebody try to compete on price, because then they're just kind of leading this race to the bottom when they could be doing so much more to add value to the customer experience that they're not looking at it the right way in terms of what they can pack in to a higher price and instead focus on racing to the bottom.
And that's a conversation that I have a lot with entrepreneurs. You know, they come and I'm like, okay, you shouldn't be charging $2,000 for this. You should be charging five. And, you know, after we pick them up on the off the floor, like, I can't charge that. I'm like, well, here's how let's talk about why I came up with that price. What is it that you do? And in that discussion, I'm like, and then you do this. And then you do this. I was like, do you see how that's adding value all the way through? And you're right. If you are going to compete on price, it is a race to the bottom, which means that you need to be incredibly high volume. You need to have incredible process. Like a 7-year-old should be able to come in and deliver whatever it is because your process is that well built out. And the fact of the matter is that takes time and money to set up. And if, you know, most small companies don't have the resources to do that.
Now, you mentioned 6 key numbers. What are the key numbers that we should be looking at in our ventures to ensure that we're able to keep serving our communities with what we do?
So I kind of divide them into two categories. We have the ones that are forward-looking that tell you what's going to happen. So for instance, the cash flow forecast tells you how much cash you're going to have in the next 6 to 8 weeks. Your WIP report, your work in progress report tells you how much you're going to bill out next month, right? Because you work it this month and you bill it next month. So that tells you what next month's revenue is going to be. When we talk about marketing and sales, the number I like to look at is sales calls booked. Mm-hmm. Because generally, most people know if they have a sales call, how many of those will convert to a client. Mm-hmm. So by knowing how many sales calls you have this month, I know how many clients you're going to have next month, which means I know how much revenue you're going to have the month after that. And so that's really helpful. We also talk about just your engagement management numbers. So whether you're selling a product or an item, like whatever it is, what are the parameters around delivering that? So, you know, the average price, the length, how much staff it takes. So what we look at here is net new engagements. Okay. Because what that tells us is by looking at the trend, we can see what your staffing is going to need to be in 6 or 8 months, which gives you that time to react. So those are the forward-looking ones. There are two numbers that help us get back on track. The first one is the budget versus actual. And I have to go into this whole thing because I always do. We hate the B word. It is awful. Nobody wants a budget. They're all restrictive. It tells you what you can't do. entrepreneurs are much more about the possibility than the prohibition. So
sure.
We have renamed them profit plans because doesn't it sound like way more fun to like plan for the profit you're going to make? So, but I cannot get Intuit and all the other accounting programs to change the name of the report. So it's a budget versus actual. And what this does is at the end of the month, after everything's been done, you can go back and look and see, did I make my goals? Did I miss this? Was I over here? Was I under there? What do I need to do? What adjustments do I need to make to get back on track to make my goals this year? And the other one is owner compensation. So the question I get asked more than anything else is, how much should I be spending on? How much should I be spending on rent? How much should I be spending on my people? How much should I be spending on marketing? And so we came up with what we call the ideal ratios. And the ratio that we track really carefully in there is owner compensation. Because I believe that people are asking me how much they should spend on rent, people, and marketing because they want to know what they should be taking home.
Sure.
And so this is the other backwards looking number. It lets us see if we're on track to properly compensate the owner for the risk that they're taking in owning this business.
So you laid out a lot there, and it's a lot more than revenue in and expenses out when it comes to running our business. We have to figure out how we can make sure that we plan appropriately for the future, especially in the long term, but we have to make sure that we aren't crippling ourselves in the short term. So how is it that we can do that with the six key numbers that you just talked about? How does that work?
You know, I think the numbers, we put them in kind of, you can't execute on everything at once.
Right.
So pick a number and work on it. Let's get your cash flow working. And then actually, let's get a profit plan working so you know where you're going and what the plan is. Can't remember who it was that said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up somewhere else.
Oh, no. Yeah. I couldn't pinpoint who it was, but I've definitely heard it.
It's not Churchill. And I actually looked it up the other day and, of course, totally forgot it. But that's really true. So if you want to achieve something this year, lay out your plan for it. And so as we start to do these things, as we start to implement them, as you start to feel more confident about the amount of cash you're going to have every week, once you lay out your profit plan and you know that you're making money every month and you know that you're achieving that, once we start to nail down having cash in the business, then you can start to nail down having cash at home, because really it does not do well. There are two things. One, as revenue goes up, owners tend to take more and more out of the business, especially as you hit that $1 million number. Like, it's like all of a sudden every owner feels like, you know, I'm in the chips, I'm in the money, I'm now rich, right? I'm doing $1 million a year, and their lifestyle really explodes. And what we see happen a lot is that they all of a sudden start sucking all the cash out of the business, which really hamstrings the business. So we have to make sure that we are not doing that. At the same time, if we have the cash in the business that the business needs, but the owner is struggling to pay bills at home, you're not going to have that entrepreneur's full attention at work. So you really have to work to balance, you know, leaving enough cash in the business, but also taking out enough so that the owner's not struggling.
It feels like a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when you're talking about that $1 million in revenue mark, it feels like they need to have a giant dose of Dave Ramsey coming in and talking to them about making sure that they're not taking out too much and that they're focusing on retained earnings in the same way that you would want to make sure that you're paying down debt in your personal life. And so I'm right there with you, completely understand. So one of the things
I have to defend them for a moment.
Yeah.
Because to get to that $1 million.
Yeah.
You have put blood, sweat, tears, you know, your whole life has gone into achieving that. And you're like,
right,
I'm at $1 million. I should be getting something out of this.
Yep.
And you're right. You should be getting something, but let's get that in smaller doses.
Sure. Well, and a lot of that, you know, you talked about cash and cash flow and making sure that our cash cycle is more efficient. So what are some of the benefits of having a more efficient cash cycle in our business?
So one of the things we talk about is with any kind of engagement with your clients, you should have some kind of contract or fee agreement. And as long as you're writing a contract, let's make it advantageous to you. So one of the things that we talk about a lot is taking payment timing out of the client's hands. So my best friend, I think, is starting to get used to me throwing her under the bus on this one. I went to visit her. She lives in Pennsylvania. And I went to visit and we walked into the house on a Sunday night, sat down at the kitchen table. And she went over and she opened a drawer and pulled out a stack of mail like this big. It was stuffed in the drawer. Okay. And I'm like, what is that? And she's like, ugh, it's the mail. I'm like, for how long? She's like, about 6 weeks. I'm like, don't you need to like pay some bills in there? And she's like, everything that needs to be paid is on auto pay or recurring or whatever. She's like, okay, if there are bills in here, they're one-off bills.
Okay.
So we go through and she opens and she sure enough throws away the vast majority of it. It's, you know, junk mail. But she's got a stack about this big of stuff. And she goes and she shoves it back in the drawer. I'm like, whoa, what is that? And she's like, those are the bills that need to be paid. I'm like, why aren't you paying them now? Yeah. She's like, I have done enough work on this tonight. And what most business owners don't understand is that unless they are the mortgage, the TV, the electricity, the water, or a credit card, they are a one-off bill.
Right.
And that is what is happening. And if you say, oh, but I'm a B2B business, it's not that much better. I don't care right. what your bill says. You're going to send it to the company. They're going to do 2 check runs a month. Even if your bill says due upon receipt, it's not going to get cut in the first run. It's going to go to the second run. And then sure. the bookkeeper's going to add up how much money they have
right.
and decide if you get paid or not. And so one of the things we talk about is taking payment timing out of the client's hands okay. by accepting credit cards. Mm-hmm. And having your client or your customer sign a credit card authorization form where you can send them a bill on the first. And if they don't dispute it, you can charge to their card 10 days later. So okay. you're talking about cash cycle. One of the things that this does is instead of collecting money all the way through the month, it gets it in closer to the month. And we all know the beginning of the month is astronomically expensive because you've sure. got rent. And you've got payroll, and those are the two most expensive things for most companies. So, we want to tighten up that cash cycle. We want to make sure that people are collecting more and they're collecting it faster.
So that kind of leads into the next one, and this is probably more for our professional services providers. But one of the things that fascinated me when I was doing the background for our conversation is when you talk about making more money without doing more work, what do you mean there?
It goes back to your collections. So okay. I'll use the legal industry, for example. There's a big survey that gets done once a year, and it says that 86% of what is billed by attorneys gets collected. And I got to tell you, I think that's totally wrong. I think it's skewed. I think they're pulling in contingency law firms. I think that right. in professional services, it's really closer to 75 or 80%.
Okay.
So this means if you're a car dealership, you're giving away every fourth car for free.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you're professional services, that means that you're hauling your team in and they're working Monday through Thursday and you're getting paid on it. but you're hauling them in on Friday to sit in the office for no particular reason. So, you know, going through and improving your collections, you're already doing the work. You might as well get paid for it. So we are definitely big into getting money collected quickly. Absolutely. And easily.
Absolutely. Well, Brooke, I think this has been fantastic. I know before we got together in the interview setting, I talked to you a little bit about our geographic connections. Obviously, you're not from St. Pete. So tell us a little bit more about you personally. Where did you grow up and where is it that you are now with Cathedral Capital?
So I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, which is where I am. I'm fifth generation, sixth generation Fort Worth. Like basically we've been here since the Civil War. Okay. I did spend a long time. I went to school in Virginia and DC. Okay. So I lived there and then I worked there after college. Well, there was a small blip where I decided I wanted to be a ski bum. That lasted about this long. But so I lived in DC for a long time and, I've come back home and it's nice being home.
Now, when you aren't working, what are some of your favorite things that you like to do? Some of your favorite hobbies, activities, groups you're involved in, that kind of stuff.
And we're talking totally personal here.
Totally personal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I drink champagne. I drink a lot of champagne. In fact, I had a milestone birthday about a year ago. So before travel shut down, seven friends and I went to Champaign to drink champagne for milestone birthday. So that was fun. So really, what do? I love traveling. I love my dog, which I actually lost on Wednesday night. So
I'm sorry
that was sad. But you know, I enjoy reading. I enjoy seeing my friends. But really, I think what fuels me is travel.
Okay. Now, are there any upcoming events or activities that you have, speaking engagements that you'd like to make sure that viewers and listeners put on their calendars? We're looking, you know, in the next few months. I know it's really tough in the COVID era to know what that calendar looks like, but here in 2021, especially the latter half, I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to have some of this stuff. Is there anything that we should put on our calendars then?
You know, I think most of my speaking engagements are for private groups. Okay. However, we do every Friday, we do a Facebook Live.
Oh, nice.
And so if you follow Cathedral Capital Inc. on Facebook, you can see what we're talking about. So sometimes it's bringing in a vendor that can help you be more profitable. Sometimes it's talking about, I know, the PPP and the EIDL loans. Our recent one is all about, with interest rates so low, it's a great time to refinance your mortgage. So, you know, we talked about what it takes as a business owner to refinance your mortgage, because that's a little different than someone who has a traditional W-2 job.
So the last bit is I want to make sure that people are able to connect with you. Where can they find you on the web? Both you and Cathedral Capital and all the social media handles. Don't worry, if you're watching or listening, we'll have all of this in the show notes for you to click right through and connect with Brooke and Cathedral Capital and learn more about what they do.
Okay, Brad, I'm so glad that you said that you're going to put all of our social media handles on there because I can't always remember them. Our URL, if you want to find us on the web, our URL is cathcap.com, cathcap.com. If you want to reach me directly, I answer all my email. I am shockingly fast at doing that. It's Brooke with an E on the end at cathcap.com. Social media, Facebook is Cathedral Capital Inc. LinkedIn is, I think, Cathedral Capital Inc. YouTube, Cathedral Capital Inc. And then Instagram, I can't remember if it's CathCap CFO or Cathedral Capital, but I think it may be CathCap CFO.
Like I said, you don't have to worry about it. It'll all be linked in the show notes, whether you're watching on YouTube or watching online or even listening, you know, we're also syndicated on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM here in St. Pete. Anybody who's watching or listening, going to Hustleberg.com/BrookeLively, BrookeLively, will be able to find the show notes and make sure that they are able to connect with Brooke. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really enjoyed learning a lot more about what I should be looking for as an entrepreneur to make sure that I am going to be around for the long haul.
That's right. I really appreciate you having me on. And just remember, only 4% of businesses hit that $1 million mark. But we really should be raising that percentage, and we can help you do it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brooke. Hey, you did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. Hustleberg is produced by Beyond Your Side Hustle, where we help you craft an awesome strategy for your business and build a community that supports you today and in the future. We help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustle and into the business they're dreaming of. If we provided you with something valuable with this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player, especially you Apple Podcast listeners. This is something that only takes a few seconds that will help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer and grow our community. Speaking of great businesses here in St. Pete, if you're a small business owner here and you'd like to share the story of your business with the Hustleberg community, please let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. Did you know that at Beyond Your Side Hustle, we're helping small business owners reach ideal engagement on any social media platform with a free 3-week training by email? It's available for you at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. You can also find a link for it in the show notes. Start right now to learn how you can fix your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. The opening music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. I encourage you to check him out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.